Welcome to Seizure Care Podcast. I am Dr. Chigi, your host and the founder of Seizure Support Foundation. We are committed to seizure disorder awareness, special education and related service awareness, as well as advocacy. We are back again with yet another interesting installment of the show where we discuss our best practices and latest advancements in the management and treatment of seizures and epilepsy in children. Our show aims to spark up conversations around seizures and learning disabilities in children to the end that they will be given the opportunity to live normal, balanced and productive lives.
Dear friends, I present to you Dr. Adobe Bisi Onyemechi. Thank you.
Okay. Though I was told to take debunking myths, I felt we should have a little overview of epilepsy before we go into the myths. So epilepsy can be defined, like we can see, as two or more unprovoked seizures lasting at least 24 hours, meaning that when you have just one seizure, you won't say you have epilepsy. Or you have two seizures within a 24-hour period, you don't have epilepsy. That's the simplest definition of epilepsy. Then briefly, just a brief overview of the types of epilepsy. Epilepsy can be grouped into focal or generalized, or those of unknown onset. Under the focal onset, the patient can have epilepsy, and they are aware that they are having it. When the seizure is going on, the patient is aware. There are also cases where there's impaired awareness. Then the onset is also important, whether there's a motor onset or a non-motor onset. Then some epilepsy starts focally and also progress to become generalized. Then you have the generalized onset seizures and the seizures of unknown onset. Then what are myths? Myths are a highly well-paused but false belief or idea. There are so many myths surrounding epilepsy depending on the sociocultural settings of the person. Then I would like us to put in the chat the different myths we've probably heard about epilepsy. We'll look at it at the end if time permits. Then let's look at the myths. Number one, one of the myths is that, oh, when somebody is having a seizure, you should force something into the mouth of the person. No, this is a myth and has to be debunked. And if we ask ourselves, what are the common things that people put into the mouth of people having epilepsy? We found out palm oil, different sorts of herbal mixtures. In our study in 2020, we found out that they put mother or caregivers put palm oil, herbal mixtures into the mouth of the child and onions into the eyes. The fact is that we should never put something in any person's mouth who is having a seizure. This will end up hurting the person more than the epilepsy. When you put, especially if the person is having a seizure that involves impaired consciousness, the person is unconscious and you're forcing something into the person's mouth, they are going to aspirate, and the aspiration will more likely kill them than the seizure. Instead, what is expected of us is to gently roll the person on one side, put something under the head, and just leave them. The seizure would stop. If it doesn't stop, access the nearest health facility, but nothing should be put into the mouth of somebody who is having a seizure. The second myth is we should restrain someone who is having a seizure. When someone is having a convulsive seizure, please, we shouldn't stop. We shouldn't try to, oh, maybe the hand or the leg is jerking. Nobody, we should not stand. We should just put the person in a comfortable position, remove any harmful object around that person, and allow the seizure to stop. Don't ever try to restrain or stop the seizure. The fact, never hold down a person during a seizure. Holding someone down can cause a muscle or bone injury. Instead, make sure the surrounding area is clear of objects and is padded with something soft. Epilepsy is contagious. Epilepsy is not contagious. Epilepsy is a medical condition that is from the brain. In a study by Oshubande, in 2011, in a face-to-face interview of 365 persons in Southwest Nigeria, 29% of the participants believed that contact with the saliva of a person with epilepsy would infect them. While 19% believe that epilepsy can be contracted using by sharing utensils with people with epilepsy. That is a myth. In our study also, 22% of our participants believe that epilepsy is contagious. Epilepsy is not contagious. When we look at the causes of epilepsy by age, in the neonates, a neonate is a child less than 1 month old. Common causes include intracranial infections, meningitis, encephalitis. Then some are born with congenital disorders, which would cause epilepsy. In our own environment, the common causes of epilepsy in neonates, neonatal sepsis, neonatal meningitis. We also have children who are born with severe perinatal asphyxia. They develop, most times they come, as they are growing, they develop all forms of abnormalities, including seizure disorders. Children also who have poorly treated jaundice. When a child has jaundice and is not managed well, and the child comes down with what we call bilirubin and kefal has jaundice, so they say, go and put the child in the sun. You keep putting, it's not, when a child has jaundice, the child should be taken to a healthcare provider who would ask, preferably a pediatrician, who assess the level of jaundice and now determine, oh, this one will be treated with phototherapy, or whether the child will have an exchange blood transfusion. So poor perinatal care is one of the common causes of epilepsy in children in our own environment. As they are growing, it progresses to meningitis, encephalitis, different forms of CNS infections, those that have developmental disorders like autism, cerebral palsy, may be associated with epilepsy. Then febrile seizures and genetic disorders. A lot of epilepsies are genetic in origin. However, because we are limited in our environment where we don't have access to genetic tests, we don't end up diagnosing genetic epilepsies. In the adolescence, brain tumors begin to come in, then illicit drug use, infections still, and trauma. So I'm a pediatrician. So these are the common causes of epilepsy in children.
Hi, I'm Dr. Chigi, a seizure care advocate, founder of Seizure Support Foundation, and host of Seizure Care Podcast. Welcome to the bonus episode of the podcast. Are you a parent, caregiver, educator, or health professional involved with children with learning disabilities and seizure disorders? You may even be a therapist or a friend to someone with seizure disorders and learning disabilities. Well, this podcast is created to help you find out more information and support, and also to get all your questions answered concerning seizure disorders and learning disabilities. Stay tuned.
Okay, so back to our myths. People with epilepsy are mentally ill or intellectually disabled. This is a myth. This is not correct. The fact is that epilepsy, mental illness, and intellectual disabilities are conditions that affect the brain. However, if a person has epilepsy, it doesn't mean that they have intellectual disability. Epilepsy is a different diagnosis from intellectual disability. People who have epilepsy and are controlled, who are under good control, well-controlled epilepsy, they can achieve anything they want to achieve. However, when there's poor control, the seizure is not being controlled, it's frequent, it's severe, it's prolonged, it can affect the person's output. Not that once you have epilepsy, it means that you're intellectually disabled. Then, another myth is that you can swallow your tongue during a seizure. The fact is that it is impossible to swallow your tongue. The tongue has many muscles, intrinsic and extrinsic muscles, and the tongue has a tissue, the frenulum, that attaches the tongue to the root, to the floor of the mouth. So it's anatomically, physically impossible for somebody to swallow their tongue during a seizure. A patient with seizures can bite the tongue but can never be able to swallow it. Then another myth is seizure is brought about by evil spirits or supernatural powers. That is not true. Seizure or epilepsy, it's a medical condition. There's nothing spiritual about it. In a study by Bisionyemichi et al., 45% of the study participants believed that epilepsy is a spiritual attack. And another study by Oshubande and Sibande also had only a higher about 81.4 participants believed that epilepsy was due to witchcraft attack. When we evaluated our patients in UNTH, we did a study. We found out that, well, these patients were the ones who did not present immediately their seizure started. So we wanted to find out, oh, why didn't you come immediately the seizure started? We found out that 7.4 of them had been to spiritual homes looking for help because they felt that their seizures were due to spiritual problems. So that's why they presented there. So meaning that it's really prevalent in our environment that people believe that epilepsy is of spiritual origin. However, epilepsy is a medical condition and seizures are the outward sign. There's nothing spiritual about it. It's a medical condition. People with epilepsy are disabled and can't walk. I think I've talked about that before. People with epilepsy who have seizures can walk when their seizures are well controlled. However, it is better for them not to walk in safety critical conditions. You shouldn't be a school bus driver if you have epilepsy, a truck driver, or a pilot, you know, because the seizures can occur and, you know, you could put your life and the lives of others in danger. But there are other jobs that they can do and they do very well in it. Most people's seizures will be well controlled. However, if you don't make the right diagnosis, some anti-seizure medications can actually worsen the person's epilepsy. For individuals who don't respond to drugs, there are other options which we'll look at later, which is the next part of the discussion, treatment options.
Are you a special mom, a dad, relative or caregiver to a special child? Are you interested in joining a support group of people who share common concerns of raising special children? Then send us a direct message on WhatsApp on 081-880-96087 and we will welcome you to our WhatsApp Seizure Care Community of Practice. It is our hope that through knowledge sharing and dissemination, we all can give our special kids the opportunity to live productive and independent adult lives. Thank you for giving me 15 minutes of your precious time on the show. We have come to the end of today's episode of the podcast. I really trust that you were impacted and you learned something new. We would really love to hear from you. We would like to hear your comments and your suggestions and, yeah, of course, your questions. I'm sure there are some questions that you are really hoping that will be answered. So please send in your questions too. We hope to answer them sometime during our show. So our question and answer segment actually will be coming up on subsequent episodes. So please do well to send in your questions. So you can do that by following us on Facebook, that is at Seizure Support Foundation, and on Instagram, that is at Seizure_Support_Foundation. Also be sure to invite someone who you know that is going through this challenge to listen in on our conversations. Subscribe, follow and share on social media. It has been a great time. Thank you so much. Thank you once again for your time. Do tune in next week. Cheers.